Hello, America. It's your new favourite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two forts of the British podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
Ground ball towards short. They're going to come home. They get the force out there. The throw to first. Not in time. The throw gets away. And the Astros are going to win. Abreu crosses the plate. The throw got away from Chavis at first. Davey Martinez is claiming interference on Myers.
Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. That's how the Astros 5-4 victory over the Nationals last night ended, with Jake Myers about 3 to 4 feet on the infield grass, getting in the way of the Nationals catcher who was trying to throw him out at first base to complete a double play. What a weird game. And a couple of weeks ago, this would have been a weird development. Jose Abreu's night at the plate. 3 for 4. A home run. A double. A single. The game-winning run. And on top of that, two unassisted putouts in the bottom of, excuse me, in the top of the ninth inning. I'm very happy with what we saw from Abreu. He has been getting absolutely shredded, largely because of the contract that Jeff Bagwell gave him. I think it's something that, of course, you can be patient about. But we, as people who do try to watch every single Astros game here on this show, and I think a lot of people that listen, you guys watch the Astros on most nights, I think we all have had a rough time watching Jose Abreu to this point. And the contract did not make it any better. The way that he ended last year didn't make that contract make any sense. But what we have seen from Jose Abreu to open up the month of June has been exciting. And I hope it continues. 5 multi-hit games his last 6. 3 home runs, 3 doubles, 13 runs batted in this month. Hitting .327 at the plate. That's damn good. .571 slugging percentage, .918 slash line. And he's going to need to keep doing this because we don't know how long Yordan Alvarez is going to be out, because how does anyone have any faith in the Astros training staff right now? And maybe that's unfair. I am not a learned doctor. My sister is. I am not. I don't know what the hell is going on behind the scenes in the Astros training room. All I know is that the amount of information that actually makes its way out into the open is always confusing. And you could say, well, the Astros are just trying to protect their players. And maybe it's that. But I feel like sometimes when you choose to go out of your way to not be transparent, there could be something else that you're trying to hide. And I'm not suggesting the Astros are like North Dallas 40, just with a big old cabinet of needles and all sorts of things behind the scenes. Or they're Buddy Kilmer in Varsity Blues. I'm not suggesting that they're committing malpractice or anything like that. But I think there's enough of a track record to ask if this training staff and the medical staff have been good at their jobs. I'm just asking the question. I'd love to have one of them actually talk to us and explain what's going on. I think a little transparency actually would help the Astros out. And maybe they, like the Houston Texans, believe that the best way to deal with anybody on the outside is to feed them bleep and keep them in the dark. But I think with this most recent Lance McCullers injury, something that he suffered in 2021 that's going to require surgery and has seen him already miss all of this season and most of last year, you got to wonder what the hell they were doing. And I get that there's some frustration directed at Lance McCullers because of the lack of availability. I think someone texted in, listen, with Verlander, with McCullers, fair or unfair, the amount of money they're getting paid and the lack of availability, that's a reason for a fan to get mad at them. But it's not their fault when it's an injury. I strongly believe that. Injuries happen. You can't control it. And with pitchers, it happens a lot. It's a very unnatural movement as it is to throw something as a human being. Now add on top of that, that you're throwing from an elevated mound and twisting your elbow and doing all sorts of crazy things to give the ball movement as you deliver that thing to home plate. Injuries are going to happen. You can't predict them. But could injuries be fixed in a better way? Is this because Lance McCullers did not want surgery? Going all the way back to 2021, you can understand why, because he's had the Tommy John surgery before. Maybe he just had Tommy John surgery now. The Astros were even vague about the surgery. I think it was a bone spur that was giving him some bad feelings in his forearm. Who knows what the hell actually happened here? But I know some people are directing their ire towards McCullers. I am directing my ire towards the Astros. You know, I feel like there have been some nagging injuries that players have had for months, if not seasons, multiple seasons, and I don't think that they've always addressed them. I'd point to what was going on with Yordan Alvarez, you know, and his hands. Seems like that was something that was suffered, what, in July, August of last year, and it seemed like it was a problem to begin this season. And now we have Alvarez on the disabled list with an oblique injury. Okay, well, what's the oblique regimen? I just have questions. This is not me saying they're bad. I have no proof to say, evidence to say, yes, these guys don't know what they're doing. But if you just look at the timeline with Lance McCullers having an injury in 2021 that has seen him sidelined for most of 2022 and all of 2023, how do you not look at them at all? How do you not think about that?
I was going to say, we might not have enough evidence because obviously, A, we're not medical professionals. B, we haven't seen the documents. And again, if we saw the like MRIs or whatever, we wouldn't know what to do with them. But there is enough, just from the outside looking in, of like, there's enough to question like what exactly they're doing. In the press release with the announcing the Lance McCullers injury yesterday, it specifically referenced that is the same flexor tendon injury from the 2021 playoffs. What are we doing, guys?
Right, exactly.
So
that's what I'm looking at. I'm like, what? That is crazy. This happened 2 years ago.
After that happened, then there's the lockout, which, sure, I guess that pushed back any medical procedure he could have possibly had. And then we sat here all of the 2022 season being like, oh, I wonder when Lance McCullers is going to pitch. He's 3 weeks away. He's just 3 weeks away, and 3 weeks past. He's just 3 weeks away. We'll have more at the end of the month. And then we go through all that charade, and he pitches 8 games in the regular season, I think 3, maybe, yeah, 3 in the postseason. And then we do the same thing all over again, another offseason of not knowing when he's going to pitch, or not even another offseason, another first day of training, or spring training where, right, we don't know when he's going to pitch. And it took until June 15th for us to have like knowledge of what this injury is. And by the way, he's going to need surgery. He's going to be out 6 to 9 months. like that is mind-boggling. The process is just absolutely absurd.
And maybe it's an isolated incident, but to me, I mean, how do you not ask a question about the Astros training staff and medical staff coming out of it? You should ask at least one, like, what are they doing?
Yeah, just like, what is, just have someone explain, like, what happened there? Why did we take the road that we did? Is it like, well, they wanted to avoid surgery in 2022, and so he just rehabbed it, and then kind of not pitched through it, but pitched without needing surgery off the rehab. Somewhere along the way, developed bone spurs, a bone spur in there. And just pitch through it? Or was it during the off season? And if it was during the off season and spring training, why didn't he just have the surgery then?
Exactly.
Did he try to rehab it again? And then, like, even though the first rehab obviously didn't work and took forever?
And you got to wonder, hey, could this have cost the Astros in, I don't know, the World Series or the playoffs, given that he didn't look great in the playoffs because they didn't do this? And he pitched anyway. I mean, it doesn't look good for them. And again, we're not medical experts. We don't know what's going on behind the scenes. But I think it is totally fair to raise questions. And I would rather you ask questions and direct your ire that way as opposed to at the player who...
He just wants to play.
Wants to play, exactly. Do you think he wants to be off to the side? It's got to be awkward as hell to not be in the Astros clubhouse, especially considering it seems like he's got some pretty damn good friends in there. Paul Gallant, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Stick around.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the devastation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
On the table, how do you feel about the Astros medical and training staff after Lance McCullers is going to be gone for the year due to an injury he suffered in 2021? Also, if you dislike Lance McCullers... Or maybe Justin Verlander. Why? And of course, with Jose Abreu having the night he had last night, 3-for-4, a home run, a double, a game-winning run, 2 unassisted putouts. Is that Jose Abreu who's hitting .327 this month, who's got an OPS in the 900s, 918 to be specific, since the start of June? Is that the real Jose Abreu? So all that's on the table, plus your comments at 713-780-3776. You can also join us on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. Rings forgive things. Lance McCullers, writes a texter, played a major part in 2 championships for a city star for them. All is forgiven. There was nothing to forgive. There's nothing that Lance has to apologize for. Nothing. Let's just... put that out there. Just because Jeremy Branham is calling Lance soft in the show after us, and I hate calling any athlete that term. I hate it. I hate it. There are too many people in this industry. This isn't a shot at Jeremy. I think there's too many people in this industry that talk about other men's athleticism who are nowhere close to even like being able to walk up a flight of stairs. And it drives me crazy. Yes, it's a little bit of fat shaming on my end, whatever. It does feel like there's a lot of middle-aged fat guys that are in this industry. I will never be one of those people. If I ever turn into a fatty boom baddie, tell me very quickly. And right now I feel like there's a little bit right here. Showing a little bit of the muffin top on twitch.tv/ESPN975 because I have a negative body image of myself. It's a big problem. But guess what? Like I go to the gym every day. I try to. Anyway, where the hell were we going with this? Oh,
Lance McCullers.
He had nothing to apologize for. What are we talking about?
Also, like, even if you want to say like he doesn't have to apologize for this, but his injuries the last 2 years have cost the Astros. Like, well, they went to a World Series and lost in 6,
exactly.
And then they won another World Series.
Right.
Like what are we talking about? Like what all this injury stuff? It's not good.
Guys.
It's bad for Lance. It's bad for the Astros.
Yeah.
But the cost of it has been a very light cost. If you look, ask any other team in Major League Baseball, would they want to lose the World Series and then win another one in 2 straight years?
What's great about this team is guys just consistently step up due to injuries, due to guys leaving in free agency, and but for whatever reason, there is a specific axe to grind with Lance McCullers, with Verlander, and sometimes even with Carlos Correa, and I will never understand it. You don't have that energy for George Springer. You don't have that energy for Charlie Morton. Why are these guys different? Is it entirely because of the contracts? If it's that, I think that's unfair.
Or is it because it does seem like it's like injuries, because it's like Correa,
yeah,
massage, whatever. That's mostly people want to joke about it, but he also just, he would have missed like 25
games
a year,
yeah,
at least. And then you
Verlander.
Have Verlander, who missed all of 1 year.
And then there was the element of him not being with the team during the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
That, to me, okay, that's, of all the things we've talked about, that is actually something to be annoyed by, but it's just annoyed
and
by
just
it.
Naturally, psychologically, like McCullers, Astros draft pick, Correa, Astros draft pick, Springer, Astros draft pick. Like, Verlander is the one that is not an Astros draft pick. So if you want to say that plays a part in it, I could see how, like, psychologically that makes some sense. That it's like he's not someone who came up with the team. But is it just like injury? Like, for whatever reason, just injuries were like, bleep you for getting hurt. Like, I don't know what it is. But also, Yordan doesn't have that.
That's a great point.
He also hit
a
home run to win a World Series, but still.
That's a great point with Yordan.
Maybe if he misses a playoffs or something, maybe it turns against him.
Guys, I think you're a miserable F word if you hold somebody getting hurt against them. Really. It's another thing if it's J.D. Drew we're talking about. For those who don't know who J.D. Drew was, J.D. Drew was this phenomenally talented outfielder. But whenever he was slightly less than 100%, he wouldn't play. We're not talking about serious injuries right here, like a forearm injury that Lance McCullers was dealing with for, it seems like, 2 years. We're talking about a guy who, if he wasn't 100%, he wouldn't play. Oh, I woke up, my back feels funny. Not playing. That is different than this. And there's an element of just, I think, vitriol that's unfair. If a guy's hurt, it's not his fault. It's his body's fault. You can't control what your body does. How many of us have suffered a weird injury while just walking? Walking! It happens. You can't hold it against you or your friend. Oh, damn it. My best friend, he stepped and rolled his ankle and broke his ankle before my wedding, and now he's in a boot at my wedding and he's a groomsman? What kind of tux are we going to get for it? Like, it's that.
Poop, Steve.
That is the same logic. Anyway. Pinche says, Paul strikes me as an exhibitionist, dressing up all frilly, exercising in a gym. I don't want people looking at me. I don't.
That would be a funny pivot, though, if you're, like, set up a...
Camera?
Yeah, a camera, and you're one of, like, you try to be one of the, like, how there's fitness girls that, like, basically seems like they only set up cameras to catch guys looking at them while they're wearing nothing.
Sean, I bleep you not. Somebody, I swear, was doing it with me the other day. I swear. And I was going out of my way to look the other way because I sensed it. There was one moment where I'm just sitting down doing ab exercises, and I'm looking ahead. She walks in my path and starts doing her own thing, but made a look, and I saw, like, with that look, got her phone out, and I'm like, I am just going to look in the other direction. I am not getting canceled for looking this way. And honestly, I understand why she might have felt that way. She was very attractive, and she wasn't wearing, like, neon leggings like some of the people that do this at the gym. Those people, I hope you die. Like, that the people that get mad at somebody looking at them is like, oh, but I just want to look cute. Yes, to have people look at you. I'm not trying to look, but when the pants are hugging your butt like that, and I can see your hoo-ha on the other side, like, that's where it gets a little bit dangerous. So, again, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for looking. I know we're on a real tangent right now.
I was going to say, I think that would be a good TikTok, pivot for you, is to be the guy
who catches girls.
Trying to shame guys or girls for looking at your butt.
Yeah. I am not meat. I am not meat. Okay. I am a man. You're laughing, Sean. I am a man. I am a man, and I'm proud to be a man. Yes, I can.
I thought you were quoting the Elephant Man.
I don't know. What is that?
You haven't seen the Elephant Man?
Why is it the Elephant Man?
Because he's, like, deformed.
Oh.
You don't know about the Elephant Man?
Never even heard about it.
Oh, whoa. That's crazy. You know what? We're up against a break. Maybe in the next segment we can talk about more movies we haven't seen.
Here's a thought. We're in the dog days of summer. There's a lot of sports movies out there, right? A lot of them are pretty much the same. So Sean and I are going to do a quick draft here. A draft of sports movies that we have never seen. So there's a lot of sports movies on the table. You have to pick ones you haven't seen. We're going to pick three. Is that a good number? We'll do that next. Suggestions, welcome. Because I've seen a lot of sports movies. I'm actually very curious as to how many Sean has seen. It's the Paul Gallant Show. Stick around. Astros had a nice win thanks to Jose Abreu having a great night. 3-for-4, a homer, a double, the game-winning run, 2-1 assisted putouts after the Astros made a mess of things in the ninth inning. And shout out to whoever the home plate umpire was when Jake Meyers was about 4 feet inside the foul line and in the infield for not calling runner's interference in what would have been an inning-ending double play. We also talked about Lance McCullers being done for the year, our questions about the Astros' medical and training staff, and I just don't understand why people have such vitriol towards Lance McCullers of all people. It's not a massive percentage of Astros fans. It's just enough. So all that is on the table at 713-780-3776. It's how you call. It's how you text. At Gallant Says on Twitter, at ESPN97.5, at Sean A. Mapes, or twitch.tv/ESPN97.5 to watch the fun. I'm wearing a Tequila Sunrise Nolan Ryan jersey. Shout out to me for looking fabulous. Okay. It's the dog days of summer. There's no basketball. There's just baseball. And yeah, we're going to talk a lot of baseball on the Paul Gallant Show. As we get closer to the start of the NFL season, we will talk a little bit more NFL. That's my specific bread and butter. But I love pop culture and specifically TV shows and movies. Honestly, it's a bit of a problem because there's a lot of movies and TV shows that I've already seen and I love watching again and again. As opposed to branching out and trying new things, I like to go back to the comfort food and see the things I've already seen. For example, the movie Angels in the Outfield. That's probably my favorite sports movie. I've seen that movie a good 20-plus times and can quote the majority of the movie. I even went in a rabbit hole last night on YouTube rewatching clips from that movie starring great cast. It's not just Danny Glover and Tony Danza. It's young Joseph Gordon-Levitt. It's Adrian Brody. It's Matthew McConaughey. Like, it was a loaded cast. And it, for whatever reason, is my favorite sports movie. But I want to branch out. So I thought Sean and I could do a segment today. The sports movies that we've heard of, that we want to see, but we have never seen. Because over the next couple of weeks, we could do our reviews of these movies. And I think there will be a rigorous cut process. Like, we want to make sure it's movies that a lot of people have seen. The most recent sports movie that I saw that everyone had seen and I had not was Bull Durham. I teared up watching that movie. I loved Bull Durham. I was shocked by how much I loved Bull Durham. It is a very good movie. But that one's off the list. So Sean and I are going to do a draft here. Sports movies we haven't seen, but we want to see. Sean, I'm going to give you the first pick. Pressure.
Wow, thank you. I'll take The Fighter, starring Christian Bale and who's the other guy?
Mark Wahlberg,
right?
Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me tell you something about this movie, Sean. So that movie takes place in Massachusetts, but in northern Massachusetts, specifically the Merrimack Valley, which is where my dad grew up. I've been to the Merrimack Valley a lot, and yeah, there's Bostonians, which you see in a ton of movies. Merrimack Valley, it is a special kind of white trash. It is
nice,
truly amazing. Sean, you are going to laugh so hard at many characters in this movie, specifically the character who is the fighter's mom. You were. Because okay. The fighter's mom, I bleep you not, Sean, and I forget the actress who played it. She should have won an Oscar for it. That is legitimately like 80% of women that live in the Merrimack Valley. It's a very specific region. That movie is a very good one. So that's a great first choice.
Yeah, it's a pick that it's a movie I want. It's one of those things where I want to see it, and I just never actually like shut up and watch it. So
okay.
I'm taking The Fighter, number one.
You're going to take The Fighter. Okay. Sports movies that I've never seen, but I've always wanted to see. This one is 100% because of the cast, but think about this premise. Sylvester Stallone, in it. Michael Caine, in it. Pele, the late Pele, RIP, in it. World War II, prisoners of war, playing soccer against Nazis. Sign me up. So I'm going with Victory with my first pick. It's got Sylvester in it. Oh, there's Nazis. Like that. that is something I really want to see. I have heard that the soccer in this movie is actually pretty good too, and it makes sense given that they hired the greatest soccer player at the time ever to play a character in that movie. So the movie Victory, starring Sly Stallone, Michael Caine, who I love so much. I wish he was my grandfather. No offense to my dead grandfathers. I love you both. Shout out for fighting in World War II. But it would be cool if Michael Caine could be my surrogate grandfather.
Michael Caine was in movies. Sorry, Grandpa.
played Alfred.
Yeah, come on.
Oscar Wilde.
I have a hard time believing that the soccer... I believe you that the soccer is believable with the exception of Sylvester Stallone. It is a little bit of a reach for me to think that Sly Stallone is believable as a soccer player.
Okay.
But, you know, it's 1981. I'm seeing now. Okay, that helps. That helps the believability.
Hey, he did a pretty good job with the boxing in Rocky, which is a movie that he did on his own. Like, that was believable boxing. As the movie franchise progressed and they stopped blocking, that's when it got a little less believable. So sports movies we've never seen, but we want to. It's a draft. Sean, you are up next. We're not going to do snake draft here.
Yeah, snake draft two people. So stupid.
Yes.
Let me take the movie Rush, starring Daniel Brühl.
Chris Angel. Guy in one of the Avengers movies.
Yeah,
and the bad guy in Inglourious Basterds. He's like the handsome Nazi who's trying to woo the French movie theater owner.
Yes, F1 movie about a rivalry at, I believe, Ferrari in the 70s. So I this is, as someone who's gotten into Formula One at the same time everyone else did.
You watched Drive to Survive?
Yeah, around the pandemic.
Pandemic, don't call it that.
Well, that's cute.
No, it's not.
I got into it, and this is a movie that came out in 2013, back when I was like, Formula One? What the hell is this? Why are there tires outside the car? Now it's something I'm willing to circle back to and give it a shot.
Okay.
Everyone who watches Formula One has said that that's a good movie.
I've never seen it either, and I'm in.
Okay.
I believe Natalie Dormer's in it too. Sup?
I'm seeing Olivia Wilde.
Ooh, even better.
Oh, Natalie Dormer, yeah.
Sup? Anyway. All right, so the draft comes back to me. I like what we have selected thus far. So this is going to be sort of cheating, but I'll explain why. There are two movies, and if I'm not mistaken, and I have to look this up really quickly. Hang on a second.
Paul is typing.
I'm typing.
Paul is on the clock. He's working the phones. He's looking for trades.
Okay.
He's on the phone with Monty Austin Fort right now.
There is a movie called The Hustler. And it's pool, but it stars Paul Newman as a pool player. There is a movie that is kind of a sequel to The Hustler. I'm not sure if it's official, but it's called The Color of Money, where it's also about pool, but it also features Tom Cruise. So,
and Paul Newman is like the older,
as an older version of, I believe, the same character that he is in The Hustler.
It says it is a film series with two films.
Perfect.
So
I'm going, I don't know a damn thing about pool at all, but I love Paul Newman and I will watch anything with Tom Cruise in it. I will. So even Vanilla Sky, which I've heard is terrible. I will watch that too. The Hustler / Color of Money franchise. That is what I'm going with here.
Okay. I was wondering how off the beaten path of sports we were going to get. You know, like,
it's a bit of a reach,
I think we've both seen, like, basketball, and I've seen that on lists.
Basketball's a great movie.
Blades of Glory. So I was wondering what we're, and I think billiards, aka pool, counts.
It barely does.
It's tough, but it counts. It gets in there.
Okay.
So with my,
you're up next.
Yeah,
pick three.
My third pick, and this is one that has also come suggested from Frank. North Dallas 40 movie.
Oh,
I hadn't even heard of.
I was going to pick
before
this
before I saw a list, and then it an extra, what's it called? Endorsement for it, starring Nick Nolte. And it's a 1979 movie starring Nick Nolte about football.
Yeah.
The sight unseen, I'm in.
I've never seen the whole movie. I've seen clips from the movie. And I know the premise is essentially a knockoff Dallas Cowboys team that the NFL would never have greenlit that is doing all sorts of things on and off the field. And Nolte plays a 38-year-old aging wide receiver who's like trying to cling on to his career.
Oh, okay. I see. And that's me not being able to do math of how long ago 1979 was. I was assuming he was the coach because he was the coach in Blue Chips, and he's an old man now.
Blue Chips is a good movie.
Blue Chips. Ineligible because we've both seen it.
We've both seen it. Okay. So there are a couple of options left. I think we're going to do just one.
Yeah, we can do one more.
I'm just going to list a couple that I saw that were intriguing to me before I actually make my pick. There's The Wrestler with Mickey Rourke. I can't have a pool movie and a wrestling movie, though. I can't. I will watch The Wrestler at some point. Raging Bull, I watched the beginning of it, and look, Robert De Niro, Joe Pesci, you're great. I know this movie is considered one of the best sports movies ever, but I remembered watching it and feeling like, man, this is kind of depressing and dark. And I don't know. I don't really want to go for that with every single sports movie that I watch. There is a movie starring Daniel Day-Lewis as a boxer called The Boxer. There is a movie starring Tommy Lee Jones as Ty Cobb called Cobb. I don't think that one was very good. There is the original Bad News Bears, but I'm not sure how well the comedy is going to hold up. So here's what I'm between. There's Moneyball with the Oakland A's. I have refused to watch this movie entirely because it glorifies a 20-game winning streak that the A's had in, what, August? This is why I always call them the Oakland Augusters. Whether it's 2021 with the winning streak they had then or 2003 where they had the other winning streak. Sorry, not in the playoffs. I don't want to watch something that glorifies a baseball team being cheap, especially when they're at the center of the news. But I've heard it's a good movie. I do like Brad Pitt. I do like Jonah Hill. I do like Philip Seymour Hoffman. I do like Chris Pratt.
It is. I've seen this movie. It is good. It is a good movie. I don't know if it'll be a good movie for you because it's all about it's all about Brad Pitt convincing people analytics work and the way, when it works, it's in the regular season. But it is a good movie.
Okay, so there's that, or there's Ford versus Ferrari for me, for my last pick.
Highly recommended from my father.
Have you seen it?
No, I have not.
I think that's better if neither of us have seen it. So yeah. I'm going to, and also F the A's, they're cheap ass fours, right? Like we gave them credit for the fan thing yesterday, but at the end of the day, they still did give John Fisher money. And now we saw today that whatever ordinance they needed to build a stadium in Vegas, it's happened. So they're going to Vegas. So the swan song was all for naught. Which is a shame.
Oh, you hate to see it. Oh, poor A's fans. Now there's not going to be a cute little baseball team with drums in the stands.
So I will pick Ford versus Ferrari. So Sean Mapes, sports movies we've never seen but have always wanted to, has The Fighter, Rush, and North Dallas 40. I have picked Victory, the Hustler / Color of Money franchise, and Ford versus Ferrari. Those are our picks. We will watch them over the rest of the summer, and we will do reviews Tuesdays and Thursdays, something like that.
Top undrafted free agent for me, there's two of them. The Last Boy Scout and Cliffhanger are the two undrafted free agents.
Is Cliffhanger a sports movie?
It was on the list. I bet when you
Cliffhanger's
picked,
a great
when you
movie.
Picked a pool movie, I was like, Cliffhanger's on the list.
But that one's, I mean, that's just Sly Stallone and Jonathan Lithgow.
It's not really one.
That's an action movie.
That's why it's undrafted.
Last Boy Scout, there is a guy who shoots a bunch of people on the field. So that's intriguing. There's also one last one. I haven't seen this one, but it also features Robert De Niro and Wesley Snipes. I believe it's called The Fan. And it's like a thriller because Robert De Niro is like a psycho fan and he's stalking Wesley Snipes.
That's interesting.
Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Stick around.
5 and 92.5.
Got a lot of feedback on sports movies we've never seen but have always wanted to. Someone texted in asking this question. Would you call Snatch, which is a Guy Ritchie movie, a sports movie? There is bare knuckle boxing in it, featuring Brad Pitt playing a gypsy from the British Isles. I don't think it's quite enough sports to be a sports movie, but that probably lends itself to a debate, Sean, about what makes a sports movie. Because there's plenty of movies that have some sports
Triple X
in it.
The Vin Diesel
Triple X is essentially the X Games. Yeah.
Yeah. Is extreme sports? Is
Fast
Point
and
Break.
Furious.
Point Break.
Point Break. Surfing.
And jumping out of airplanes, which I guess isn't a sport.
The original The original Fast and Furious is about street racing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But we both have basically had it tattooed on the back of our eyelids. So
yes.
We it's ineligible.
Yes, I agree. Some other texts that we have here, 713-780-3776. The movies that I picked Victory, Hustler and the Color of Money, and Ford versus Ferrari. I guess Christopher Walken is also in The Hustler. Okay, hell yes. I'm guessing it's young Christopher Walken. Some other texts. Great sports movies we've wanted to see.
Paul, there's a question on the Twitch. Oh, man, it moved. Hold on. Where'd it go? It was basically asking if you've seen Field of Dreams. This is from Pinche.
Yes, I've seen Field of Dreams. It's a terrible movie.
I've only seen it as a kid. And so I wasn't sure. There's a lot of sports movies where I only saw it as a kid, all the Disney ones especially. And so I didn't know how I was going to go about that, and I just steered away.
Field of Dreams is the reason that I refused to watch Bull Durham, because I was like, I'm sorry, there's too many Kevin Costner baseball movies.
I also
movies.
Haven't seen Bull Durham. I've completely forgotten.
Bull Durham is awesome.
I thought about drafting Varsity Blues, too, because that's one you reference constantly, and I always just nod along. Remember the Titans, I've also never seen.
You've never seen Remember the Titans?
Yep, and Jeremy referenced it yesterday on the Killer Bees when I was working their show, and I literally just nodded along. I was like, yep, sure.
Okay, quick takes on all of those. Again, Field of Dreams, I've seen it multiple times. The second time I watched it, I liked it less. First time I liked it, I didn't hate it. The movies that you just listed, I'm trying to refresh my brain on them. You mentioned the Remember the Titans
Remember
movie.
The Titans.
It's good. The problem is it's like so many other sports movies. It's just pumped up tires-wise because of Denzel Washington being in it and because of the race dynamic of it, too. I'm not saying it's a bad movie. I just think there's a lot of sports movies that seem to be based on it going forward. Yeah. And that is why I don't think it's aged great.
Yeah, it kind of set the template. But it set the template. But then the template got used so much
exactly.
That going back and watching it.
Right.
Yeah.
The first time I watched it, I really enjoyed it. The problem is, I think as you watch it over and over again and you see so many other sports movies that are essentially the same thing, like coach comes in, changes things. And then you realize, oh, that's always been the trope. That was Hoosiers with Gene Hackman.
Yeah. Which, Hoosiers, haven't seen.
Hoosiers is good. It's not as great as everyone makes it out to
again,
be.
Again, a lot of the, like, I haven't seen a lot of, like, I guess, like, all-timer or, like, you know, the ones that people, where I say I haven't seen them, they say, you haven't seen this movie? And I just didn't draft any of them, partially out of spite and partially out of, if I wanted to see these movies, I would have already seen them. So I was going for movies that I either wanted to see, just haven't gotten around to, or North Dallas 40, movies I hadn't heard of.
Yeah, okay. Okay, you hadn't even heard of
No, haven't even heard of it. And then I saw your little line on it in the rundown, and Frank, when we mentioned that we're doing this, mentioned that movie. I was like, all right, that's enough to get drafted.
It's a football movie.
Yeah.
And it's a like rated R football movie. From the 936, Brian's song. I have that on DVD, and I've never watched it. Also?
A draft of DVDs that you own but haven't seen.
I could do that. It's a shame. I watched 42 with Chadwick Boseman, RIP, and Harrison Ford, and I was very underwhelmed by it. It is what it is. Brian's song is one that I've always wanted to watch, and I can't believe I didn't pick this because I actually have it. Brian's song, I'm told, though, makes you cry. Like if you're not a real man if you don't cry watching Brian's song.
James Caan in it. Wow.
James Caan and Billy Dee Williams. Lando.
If this draft happened probably a year or so ago, I would have picked The Program, number one. But I've watched The Program, and it's a great movie.
Hilarious. Some other texts in The Hustler. Yeah, The Hustler's pretty good. The show that was on Netflix, it's the movie where Adam Sandler is like a basketball scout, right? And he works with...
Oh, that's Hustle.
Hustle, yeah, Hustle. My bad. The Hustler's the movie that I drafted. What else do we have here? Because we're talking about sports movies we've wanted to see but haven't.
The Air Up There?
I've seen that one.
Okay.
Fight Club is not a sports movie. It's not.
Days of Thunder? I think it's NASCAR.
Yes.
It's NASCAR.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
Yes.
That counts. I picked Formula One. Of course it counts.
Days of Thunder, is that's with Tom Cruise as well, right?
Yeah. Tom Cruise.
Is Newman
Nicole
in that one too?
Kidman.
Is that where they married?
Yeah. That is where they met. Okay. I forgot who the old man is. Is it Hackman?
I wonder if that's Robert Redford or if that is also a movie featuring a noted race car enthusiast, Paul Newman. That might be Paul Newman as well. Anyway.
Oh, Robert Duvall.
Oh, it's Robert Duvall. Okay, we were close. Redford. What? Robert Redford plus Paul
it's
Newman
also guys
equals...
of guys of that age kind of thing. They're all in the same draft class.
One last one before we hit the road. Hardball. Have you seen Hardball?
Is that the Keanu movie?
Yes.
When the kid dies?
Whoa!
It's one of those things. I know the plot. I have not seen the movie, and I know the plot.
Damn.
And it's a depressing plot. I didn't want to sign up for depression.
Maybe the next draft that we do for sports movies will be sports movies that make you cry.
Okay.
Because that we could go all day on. Anyway, he is Sean Mapes. I am Paul Golan. Big thanks to our very interactive show today. The text line, the Twitchers, and Twitter. He is Sean Mapes. I am merely Paul Golan. So long. Farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful Thursday. The Killer Bees are up next. Peace!
Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two fourths of the British podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.